Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it. Throws to first. It's over. 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
It is Thompson and Clark here, and We are just not great luck on these live games as we're recording.
Oh, man.
Giants are currently in Detroit as of this live stream that we got going in our podcast recording. They're down 3-0 in Detroit. Jack Flaherty is giving up two hits. And how did Detroit score against the Giants? Because they have seven hits, so I don't imagine Logan Webb had the best stuff going.
Yeah, there was there was a two-run home run in, I think, the second inning. And then in the third inning, there was a leadoff ball hit down the right field line into the corner. Yaz misplayed it, bounced away from him, so it was a leadoff triple. And then they brought in the infield, and a single drove in the run, and now it's 3-0. So, you know. It's hard to watch this offense right now, and I get it. And I was trying to look for stuff all day long, like BABIP. You know, if you look at BABIP, maybe they're not as bad as – I don't know. I think it's all bad, unfortunately.
I saw a stat. I can't even remember who said it, but, like, if you go all the way back to August of last year, Patrick Bailey's the single worst hitter in baseball.
Yeah. And I saw an article pop up today that says, is Lamont Wade Jr. the worst hitting first baseman in Major League Baseball? Yeah, he is. I mean, if you look at the numbers, is it a question? I mean, yeah.
So all you know, we started this show in a very negative mindset, right. But there are things to look at positively about this baseball team. And, you know, I was kind of thinking very similarly with what you said, which is, okay, we know the offense is bad, and it almost feels historically bad for a good baseball team.
Right.
What does it really mean? Is it as bad as we think? Are we just frustrated because they're losing these close games? And so we're going to go through, I went through all 54 games and kind of bucketed them into 10 game sprints, and I'll have some data. I think basically what my analysis is that thank God for the hot start, because outside of the hot start, they're a 500 baseball team, which is still like the hot start counts, like that is part of the season, so you can't just discount it. And they've been playing about 500 baseball since then, but we'll talk about that a little bit more as we get through this, because I wanted to look at a couple of other things. So if you look at last week, Giants lose 2 out of 3 to the Royals, and then they go into Washington and take 2 out of 3 from the Nationals. And then yesterday, which is Monday, Memorial Day, we did not record, they lost a game to the Tigers. They're currently losing right now. So the Tigers are a good team. Tigers are, you know, they are like 15 games over 500 or something. So nothing
to sneeze at. best record in baseball right now. 636 winning percentage. The Phillies are just above them. But a couple days ago, I think Detroit had the best record in all of baseball. Yeah.
And so we'll see what happens here if the Giants can even make a little bit of a comeback. But there was a power ranking that came out today from The Athletic. The Dodgers are no longer the number one team in the power ranking. And the New York Yankees are now the number one team in the power rankings. They're 33-20. Aaron Judge is still crazy on fire. if you are a fan of the WAR statistic, he is nearly 50% more wins above replacement, according to FanGraphs, than the next closest guy in the league. So he's on fire. Philadelphia Phillies, like you said, 34-19. They are number two in this power ranking. Then you get to the Dodgers. And I was having a conversation with my buddy, who's the Dodger fan who I always bring up. And I don't think he's really worried about the team. But every once in a while, he'll just be like, man, can you guys just let up a little bit? Like, every time I turn around, the Giants are still, like, right on our heels. And, you know, he hates the Giants just as much as we hate the Dodgers. So, but I like it when he gets a little nervous, you know. It tells me that something's going on here. So, Dodgers are three. New York Mets at 33-21. They are four. They were really hot in April. They've come back to earth in May. Tigers, who the Giants are currently playing right now, they are 5-35-20. Tarek Skubal had a Maddox the other day, and he had 13 strikeouts in the Maddox. A Maddox is a shutout with 100 pitches or less. And his final pitch clocked at 102.6 miles per hour.
That's nuts, man.
Ninth inning. So it's kind of ridiculous. And then number six, Chicago Cubs, who the Giants played in Chicago and won 2 out of 3. So it's good to see teams on this list, because as you reminded me as I was complaining about the Giants, you're like, hey, they beat the Yankees 2 out of 3 and the Phillies 2 out of 3 early in the season. Those are the top two teams on this list. And then the Tigers are 5, the Cubs 6. They also went into Chicago and won 2 out of 3. And sitting at number 7 is your 31-23, 8 games over .500. San Francisco Giants, just to kind of flesh out the rest. The Padres are right behind us at 8. Looking for where the D-backs are. The Twins are at number 11. We played the Twins.
Lost. That's another lost series right there.
Yeah, that was a bummer of a series. And the Diamondbacks at 27-27 are 14. And I was telling you, if I was to think about the games in which we just felt overmatched, I would go back to the Diamondback series and the Padres series. I felt like they were the two best teams that we played. Now, we played the Phillies and the Yankees really early in the season. So, you know, if we were to play them again, and we probably play the Phillies again at some point, I'll see how I feel about that. But the Padres and the Diamondbacks were the best teams that we had played. But there you go. So 7 is not a bad ranking, considering there are 30 teams in baseball. And, you know, in 7, you had two of the National League West teams in the top 7 and 3 in the top 8. That just tells you how deep the division is. So that made me feel better after I was a little sad yesterday after they lost the game.
Yeah, it was to go into Detroit and lose the first game of the series is a little bit tough, because we've been seeing this Giants team all season long. Like, you were just talking about all the teams in the top 10 that we've beaten in terms of series wins. They seem to take that first game, give you that hope, like, okay, they have a chance to win the series, and then they do. But then when they go into Detroit and they lose, they score one run, and then today – no runs through 6 innings. It's just, you know, it's tough to see. And like you said, I know you're going to break up the season into like 10 game groups. But you just have to say, hey, this team has beaten the Yankees, has beaten the Phillies, has beaten the Cubs. So I know it's different now, but you can always look back and say, but they had that those chances to win those ball games and beat those teams, and they did it. And it's in the same season with the same players. So I hang my hat on that in terms of, I don't know about offensively, do I hang my hat on that? But I think this team will offensively turn around. And at no point during a 162 game season, I shouldn't say at no point, but in very rare instances do you have in a 162 game season, do you have stretches where the offense, the defense, and the pitching are all lights out? I mean, that'll happen in a series here or there, but to happen over like a 10, 15, 20 game span in a 162 game season, you don't see that every, you know, very often. So thank goodness for the pitching, because when you go up and down the teams and look at runs against, the Giants have given up 196 runs. I'm looking up and down. There's only four, five, six teams that have given up less runs than the Giants at this point. So you're winning ball games still, and you're still what, 8 games over 500 because mm-hmm. of the pitching.
Yep.
And we always feel, you know, we always look at that stuff and go, well, how long can it last? And it kind of seems like with good teams, when the pitching falters, the offense can pick them up. And so it's not out of the ordinary. It's not saying it's not going to happen, because this Giants team was hitting early in the season. Not much has changed other than the calendar, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So, by the way, Logan Webb, as I'm saying he doesn't have his best stuff, he does have 10 strikeouts through 6 innings, and I think that might be it for him. He's over 100 pitches. It's already it for Flaherty. He was at 97, and they brought in a reliever in the top of the 7th. So the Giants are going to try and battle back against this Tigers bullpen. All right, so here's the exercise that I did. So first 10 games of the season, Giants go 8-2. They score 49 runs, and they give up 32. So from the giving up runs perspective, it was the best of their 10 game increments as we're measuring this. Second 10 games, they go 4-6, and yet it was their best offensive 10 game stretch. They scored 55 runs in those 10 games, yet it was also their worst runs against stretch. They gave up 42 runs in that 10 game stretch. They go 4-6. In the third 10 games, they only score 35 runs against 40 runs, but they go 6-4. And in their next 10, they go 5-5, and they go 46 runs scored, 35 runs against. And then the next 10, 5-5 again, 45 runs and 39 runs against. And then their last 4, not counting tonight's game, they are 2-2, and they're 8 runs for, 8 runs against. So, like I said, after the first 10 games of the year, they've been about a 500 team. And when they have been a little bit over 500 is when the pitching has been there. And the 1 week that they had, or the one 10-game stretch that they actually had the losing record, is when the pitching gave up the most runs. So kind of what you were saying, it really backs up what you were saying, is that if the pitching is there, they're going to compete, even if the bats stay as silent as they've been. And if the pitching, for some reason, and we'll talk about some of the turbulence that they've had in the rotation in a second, but if a Logan Webb, for whatever reason, misses starts, or a Robbie Ray, who we'll talk about as well, misses some starts, and then you have to kind of worry about the starting pitching, then yeah, I think that's a signal that, you know, maybe that's when they're going to struggle. But there was nothing, in at least in those first 50 games, that told me that the silent bats continue and they're going to get worse. It seems like they figured right out how to be about a 500 team with a pretty poor offense. And so the flip side is, can certain guys stay that cold? is Willy Adames going to be as cold as he's been? I think that left field fence in Oracle is playing with his head, because this dude is swinging out of his shoes.
Yeah.
Like he's trying to hit the glove with some of these swings. I wish he would go a little bit more, stay within himself and just worry about the, you know, making solid contact instead of trying to put the ball out of the park constantly. But maybe that's part of the contract. It's like, oh, now I got to be a home run hitter. You know, that's kind of the deal.
Yeah.
Like, no, dude, we just get on base. we talked about Lamont Wade. We did a whole segment on Lamont Wade a couple weeks ago. Patrick Bailey, again, kind of makes you wonder. I would like to see what his war is going to be kind of as we get towards the midpoint of the season, and you know, 55 games, his defense is still excellent. I was marveling in the Kansas City series when Bobby Witt Jr. was in like a must steal situation, and we know he's going, the Giants know he's going, Kansas City knows he's going. It may have even been Duvall on the mound. I think because Duvall couldn't get over to first base to cover a little slap hit that he had. And, you know, we know Duvall is not great at holding on runners, and yet Patrick Bailey release time was amazing and just throws Bobby Witt out. And it was almost like one of those where Bobby Witt was like, how did you do that? Like, I got a good jump. I'm really fast. And he still threw me out. Like, what? It was almost like he was standing on second going like, no, you're joking, right? Like, I'm safe. He's like, nope, you're out. And then Bobby Witt himself was like, yeah, I was out. I'm not even going to argue this one. So so that just shows
was,
you, you know.
He was also slapped in the head, too. Pretty
yeah. Hard. But it just shows you that, you know, as much as Bailey is just frustrating to watch when he has his ABs, like, just defensively he's a marvel. So you have this really weird scenario, and it's not like they have a good hitting catcher playing behind him who needs to steal at bats from him. Like, no, like, he's got to play. And then because you're playing so many of these close games, you can't pinch hit for the guy late because you need him in moments like I just described above, or just described with Bobby Witt Jr., you know, trying to get into scoring position. So they are just going to have to really deal with it. And I don't even know, like, I'd be interested in knowing what the hitting coaches are trying to do. Cause some of it is, last year we heard about him not being in shape and all that stuff. And, you know, Kruko was on him about that. I don't know what it is. Is he just a bad hitter? That could possibly be the thing. Is he's just not a good hitter, and this is what you deal with. And he, you know, he's just going to hit eight all year long, and you're going to hope that, you know, once every game he can at least hit some good contact and maybe push a runner in scoring position, and not just you know, be in too many opportunities to not hit. And because, like, if you're a team thinking about, like, as the rotations turn and you're like, okay, how do we just get to Bailey? Like, let's get to Bailey, because yeah, right, we'll get out of the inning if we get to Bailey. That has to be some of the strategy for the other team. So do you think that, I mean, there's got to be more offense in this lineup, and it could even be Encarnacion, who will not be up this week, but it looks like he'll be up next week when they come back, home. I don't know if that's the answer, but there's got to be something that they can do, because what they're doing right now is we are very patient because they are eight games above 500.
Right. And you know, I'm just punching up different things here on FanGraphs. I'm looking at, you know, the Giants in the month of May so far compared to other teams. And when you look at their WRC plus, they're 23rd in the league. But then the teams behind them who are worse are Cleveland, Miami, the White Sox, Texas, Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, Colorado. But right above the Giants in 22nd place are the Padres. And mm-hmm. They're still winning ball games.
And the Giants have scored a ton more runs than the Padres, too.
Yeah, exactly. When you look at in the month of May, home runs, Giants have 23, Padres have 23. You know, what other teams? Seattle has 25. Minnesota has 25. Toronto has 27. And these are good teams. Houston has 24. Dodgers, of course, have 34 because Dodgers are the Dodgers. But the one thing the Giants aren't doing anymore that they were doing early in the season is stealing bases. They're 29th in May in stolen bases with five. I feel like the base running aggressiveness has kind of died off a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, Willy Adames has two knocks today. Just watching the top of the seventh inning, he got a single. A pitch later, the Giants are out of the inning. So not even a chance to run, not even a chance to get into scoring position. So I kind of feel like some of the little stuff that the Giants were doing early in the season isn't there as much.
I thought was an amazing statistic, and it just shows you that even with the porous hitting, if you can be aggressive on the bases, it is helpful. Like, we know, mm-hmm. just because we're watching on fantasy baseball, and this guy's been on my team for a couple years, Louis Bob, he's hitting under 200, and he's not even hitting with power in Chicago. He's got 20 stolen bases.
Yeah.
It's almost like every time he gets on base, he's got to steal it to get to second, and he does it. And so it's like, it shows you, you know, if the mentality is there, you can do like our guy Fitzy. He can't be hitting that much higher than you know, 230 or whatever. I haven't checked his numbers, but
he's actually hitting 280.
Okay, there you go. Even better. Yeah. He was hurt for a little while, but why doesn't he have 20 bags stolen?
Right. Exactly. And you know, the problem too with him is right now, since he came back from the injury, he's not getting on base. And that's kind of the tough thing to watch. I don't want to say he's hitting 280 and be wrong. So give me one second, because I just want to double check my thing. But I swear I was looking today and he's hitting like 280. Let's see, Fitzy, where are you? He's hitting 268, actually. And his BABIP is 350, and he's hitting 268.
He's getting a little lucky, but I imagine some of that is speed related, just because he is fast. So he puts the ball in play, he's getting on base, which tells you, dude, stop striking out, just put the ball in play.
Yeah, and Jung-Hoo Lee's got only three stolen bases. Elliot Ramos, who I think could steal more bases, only has three. Adames, who's kind of a base stealer, he can get you 20, 25 this season. He's got two. Wilmer Flores even has a stolen
base. So. Had to be on the back end of a double steal. No, I can't remember.
I think it was a straight steal. I think he actually would have stolen another base a couple games ago. I think he was off and running, and whoever was up grounded out and ended the inning. But I think he had the base stolen. He had a pretty good jump. But I think if the Giants can get more aggressive that way, you kind of have to force yourself into getting runs. I mean, that's how you have to do with this offense. When are they going to? I don't know. It's not tonight. It's not a switch that you flip and all of a sudden you're more aggressive on the bases. But I think look for those opportunities and try to take those opportunities.
Yeah, for sure.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
All right. So what else do we want to talk about? Well, we have a correction to make from last week's show. We said, who would the Giants have to remove from their 40-man?
Oh, right.
When they get their player back, Encarnacion? And the answer is nobody, because I think they only have 38. So they have two open spots on the 40-man. So they would not have to cut anyone from the 40-man. So we just wanted to make that note there for if people were yelling at their phones or in their cars saying, you guys are dorks. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Do you guys not know the 40-man? Yeah, we don't have it memorized.
So Encarnacion is back in AAA, I think, this week. And the hope is that another week and he'll be ready to come back to the big club. But who do you think that they make room for just on the 25-man on the big club when he does come back?
You know, I saw somebody yesterday on Blue Sky. They had mentioned, you know, if Encarnacion comes back, then, you know, goodbye Lamont Wade Jr. Do you want to go with two right-handed first basemen and Encarnacion and Flores? That's an issue. I already don't have enough left-handed batters. So I think it's probably going to be either Schmidt. I don't think Schmidt's out of options yet. But I have a sneaky feeling it might be Matos. Matos is not getting a whole lot of at bats right now. Mm-hmm. And because of that, and because Encarnacion can play outfield and he could be the DH and he could play first base, I think you go with Matos in that situation because of the spot starts you're giving Luis Matos. You can give those to Encarnacion in the outfield, and then Matos can head on back down and get consistent at bats in AAA. Still has options. So that's my guess, is that it's going to be Matos.
Yeah, they are so right-handed on this team. It is incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the other, like you mentioned, Schmidt, they probably like the idea that Koss is kind of like their utility guy behind Fitzy.
And I'm good with that. I like, hey, Bailey just got a hit. Stop the presses. What are we doing here? Patrick Bailey got a hit.
Let's go. Patrick Bailey.
That's Giants what I was hoping to do. He shortened up the swing. Batting left-handed, shorten up the swing, 89-mile-an-hour little sinker, and he dumps it into left field, opposite field. That's what I'd like to see more out of Bailey. Just shorten up the swing. Mm-hmm. You're not a home run guy. I mean, you're not a base hit guy right now, so shorten up the swing, go with the pitches, opposite field, do what you got to do. Just be on base, because right now the Giants need base runners.
Yeah, just don't be a pitcher in the lineup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we already have enough. We've got him and Lamont Wade Jr. We don't need all those guys in the lineup, you know?
So I mean, do you think, what do you think about Encarnacion? Can he be a little bit of a spark plug for them?
I mean, his exit velocity was pretty outrageous the last season. Very small sample size. We haven't seen him in a full season in the majors yet. We're still not going to see that this year, but hopefully we'll be able to see him all the way through September and into October. But I think he can be a boost in terms of hitting the ball hard. I think he's going to find gaps. I think he's going to get hit home runs. He's going to hit the ball hard. I think he's going to be a bit of a Jock Peterson with a little more athleticism in terms of he will hit the ball hard, especially against lefties. But when you look at his splits, he's pretty good against righties too. But again, small sample size, don't really know 100%. We got ourselves a GIDP right after that.
Fitzgerald.
So come on. the rally killer, the GIDP. I think Encarnacion, I think he's going to be a bit of a boost to the lineup. What is the lineup going to look like when he comes back? That's the question. I mean, we talked about who goes down, but what's the lineup going to look like? Is he going to be playing in the same lineup as Wilmer? Against a lefty? I think so. I think you put him at first base and you put Wilmer at DH. Against righties, is he going to be in the lineup? I would think. I mean, if he's going to be in the lineup against righties and he's going to take the place of Lamont Wade Jr., then yeah, you don't need Lamont Wade Jr. anymore if you're not going to bat LWJ against the right-handers. So, so it's going to be interesting to see the lineup that comes out on the first couple of days that he's back up.
And, you know, we do like to do the Bryce Eldridge update every opportunity that we get. Bryce is hitting in May. He is hitting, he's up to 321 in May after only 6 games in April. He did not start hot. 321 in May. He's got 4 jacks and 12 RBI in 81 at bat. So hitting well. You kind of wonder what the trajectory is, how long they want him to be there. I would imagine as long as the Giants are winning, he will probably stay there longer. It's kind of hard thinking about him being a possible spark plug too, because he's just, you know, he's so young. He's never seen the type of pitching that is up here in the big. So I'm fine being patient with him, though. If we get to if they get him to AAA in the second half and he's just killing AAA, and you know they need a little bit of left-handed power come later in the season, that would kind of be fun to see him come up. But at this point, I don't think he's going to be able to be a savior. He's just so young in his career. One thing we didn't talk about is Kyle Harrison. He was back in the rotation. I know that they have him on a little bit of a pitch count. He was on Saturday, he was the pitcher of record in their loss to Washington. Is that right?
Yep.
So, yeah, he only threw 4 innings, I think. But he was still upwards of, you know, mid to high 90s. So that was really good to see. And again, it's one of those things where you see him and you see Birdsong and you're like, yeah, like I like seeing these young guys competing and giving the Giants opportunities to win. And yeah, the Giants offensive, you know, their last 2 starts, the offense just went to sleep. So yeah, they didn't get the benefit of it at all. But it's still great to see these guys in the rotation and pitching positively. So I liked them putting Harrison in, and we'll see, you know, Verlander's only going to be out until probably probably second week of June at the max. So Harrison may get 1 or 2 more starts in there to build him back up. And then Verlander will come back and Harrison will be a nasty lefty out of the bullpen. But, you know, Roop, Birdsong, Harrison, they're your 3, 4, and 5. And I don't know what other teams in the bigs have a 3, 4, and 5 who are like 25 years and younger. So that is something to actually look forward to. I'm very interested to see how we deal with that whole thing for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and then you've got you know, the guy in right now, Tristan Beck. He was a guy I was throwing under the bus last week when we were talking about 40 man. If you had to clear a spot, I was like, well, Tristan Beck, you've got, you know. So I apologize. He's up in the majors now. I didn't seriously think they were going to take any pitching in DFA. Some pitching, you're going to trade pitching before you do anything like that. It would definitely be a hitter. But yeah, you've got guys like, you know, Tristan Beck and Wisenhunt Hunt still.
We haven't even talked about Wisenhunt Hunt coming up.
Yeah, and I saw
he could have been one that they brought up to start for.
Yeah.
But they brought Tristan Beck up instead to be a right-handed long guy. But Wisenhunt could have come up as well if that was their plan.
Yeah, that kind of seems like the Buster Posey way right now. You'll bring up one of the young pitchers, put him in the bullpen as a long reliever, and then if you need him to make a start, if something happens, well, he's already there and you just pop him into the starting rotation. But yeah, it's kind of, I saw something on Reddit. Somebody had posted again, it's Reddit, but you know, it's always fun to talk about because we're fans of the Giants and that's pretty much what this podcast is. We like to talk about, you know, what the fans are talking about and what's kind of going around the circles right now. But somebody said, you know, what are the chances the Giants trade Robbie Ray at the All-Star break? And I thought, wow, that's kind of crazy idea because he still has another year, $25 million next year on his contract, which is a bargain if he's still pitching this way. Giants are 8 games over .500. I think fans right now on social media are starting to grasp on to this lull in the offense and pretty much say this is how it's going to be the rest of the season. So they're saying, well, yeah, you got an 8-game lead right now, but you could easily be 8 games under .500 if things, you know, start to turn for the worse. I mean, you're talking about you turn off the pitching and the hitting stays like this. Now you've got a bad team.
Yeah.
You just have a bad team. If all of a sudden the pitching tanks, but it's not going to, because you have a lot of young pitching. You just talked about, we have so much young pitching in the majors and in AAA. I think the Giants are going to be good shape there. So I don't think there's any way the Giants would trade Robbie Ray, but then you start thinking about, well, you do have so much young pitching. And what if Harrison and Birdsong and Roop are cruising right along and Wizenhunt is down in the, you know, AAA mowing guys down and you need to bring him up. Can you get a good prospect haul for Robbie Ray? Do teams trade big prospects anymore unless you're the Dodgers? I think the Dodgers are the only ones that really trade prospects anymore. You know, some of the big name prospects, because they have so many. The Mariners have quite a few, but you got Robbie Ray from the Mariners. So it's just an interesting something to think about, you know, as you get closer. But again, if the Giants are cruising and still 8 games over .500 and hanging out 2 games behind the Dodgers in the National League West, there's no way Robbie Ray gets traded because you have him for next year. It's not like you're going to lose him at the end of the season. You could trade him in the offseason if you want, if you really want to do that. Or trade him in May or June of next year, and you'll still get a pretty decent return, especially because he's not making that much money. 25, you'll see next year, $25 million for a pitcher of Robbie Ray's caliber, if he's still pitching this way, it's going to be a steal. I mean, you're going to look at a lot of the other contracts and you're going to go, man, he's you know, like 15th, 16th highest paid pitcher, and he's pitching like a top five guy. Cause you know, there's even ramblings here and there about him possibly starting the All-Star game because of how well he's pitching.
Speaking of one Robert Ray, who is our player of the week?
You know, I forgot I picked him, and here I was like touting him and that segment to do. What more can I say about the guy? I mean, he had an awesome week. He's our player of the week. 2 quality starts on the week out of 2 starts. 13 innings, gave up only 9 hits, only 1 run, 1 walk, and struck out 14 in those 13 innings. He's just, I mean, he's becoming that dude for the Giants to have Webb and Robbie Ray. I mean, and like tonight, yeah, Webb's probably going to get the loss hung on him, but he gave up 3 runs. And like you said, he struck out 10. I don't know how much more he ended up pitching, but I think that was it.
He just went in to the 6th.
Yeah, so you get a normal offensive team, and the Giants probably win the game last night, probably win this game again tonight, and probably win this series.
But you know who, Logan, who's not surprised about this offense? It's Logan Webb. He's like, eh.
Yeah, Logan Webb. Yeah,
kind of how it is.
Yeah, exactly. But look at it. Robbie Ray's got 11 starts on the year. He's got 7 wins. I mean, he's just kind of cruising. What's his ERA right now? I know ERA is so old school, but it's 2.56. His FIP is 3.20. He's got a 1.2 F WAR on the season. Home runs per nine, 0.71. Strikeouts per nine, 9.81. That's definitely below his average over the years, and he does have some innings here and there where he struggles. I mean, we've seen it, you know, second inning, third inning, all of a sudden he's walking a guy and giving up a hit, and now he's, you know, having a little bit of command trouble. But then when he locks back in, he's lights out. So yeah, that's our player of the week. 2 quality starts, a win, and 14 Ks in 13 innings while giving up one run.
So let's look at the rest of the week. But as I was looking at the week, I was like, okay, when's the last time the Giants scored more than 4 runs? It's been 2 weeks, not quite 2 weeks. It's been 11 days. Athletics on the 16th, which was a Friday night, the Giants scored
That was the
big
Wilmer,
runs.
Yeah. That was the Wilmer three home run game. That's when that's the last time. That feels like forever now.
Yeah. Since then, 1-3-1-3-4-4-0-3-1 and so far today, 0. So yeah, man.
Well, Big Wilmer's up with Elliott on first base in the top of the ninth, down 3-0. So
yeah, maybe I just reminded him of that Friday night against the A's.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, I can hit a Jimmy Jack here. He almost dumped one into left field for a single, but it just went foul. So
the Giants play the Tigers again on Wednesday morning, a 10-10 start here in the Bay Area. Then they have a day off. Maybe they can have like the longest batting practice session of all time in between traveling to Miami to play the Marlins. And they have the Marlins for 3 over the weekend. And then you have the following week or the following Monday. The second is when they're home again. So that sucks, man. They're going cross country. Yeah. They play Miami at 11 a.m. our time. So they got to finish that game. They got to get on the plane and they got to come back cross country home and then immediately night game against the Padres the next night. They have 4 against the Padres and then 3 against the Braves. And the Braves are actually playing some pretty good ball. And I saw Acuna is back.
Yeah. Yeah, he's first pitch that he saw, he hit a home run. Hey, Wilmer hit a double, drove in a run. And then Jung Hoo goes ahead and swings at the first pitch from the vest. That's like 8 feet off the plate. But still nobody out. I mean, they're threatening it. You know, if Jung Hoo gets a hold of one, then we could be in good shape, man. Because I like our bullpen. Everybody loves our bullpen. And they say, if you can make this a bullpen game, the Giants definitely have the advantage. So, you know, all the Giants bullpen has to do is do what they keep doing and have the offense, scrape out some runs.
So I think that is it. We actually went a little bit early on the live stream. So we got through all of our stuff. And because by the time that we recorded, I was thinking that the game would be over. But because we went a little bit early, the game is still going, so we'll catch the last couple ABs. I guess Jung Hoo, he flied out. I don't know if that's in front of. I don't know if the thing I'm looking at is in front of television, but it's Chapman with I guess there's one out in the ninth inning. All right, so cross your fingers. If you're listening to the audio, you're like, we already know what happens. Why are you guys even talking about this? Well, we went head to head with the game, so we were trying to will them to victory, but we are not good luck for whatever reason. All right, so for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.